Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go through the Marxist circus that is the Democrat debate. We tell you who was winning, who was losing, what was said, and we dive deep into the issues that everyone is missing. Right now, give us a subscribe, leave us 5 stars, ask us a question, get your friend to do the same. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. I hope you are enjoying your night. Because if you are enjoying your night, you are not watching the Marxist circus. That's what I call the Democrat debate. I watched almost all of it. I had to go in and out to take a couple phone calls and actually do some work for Turning Point USA. And my first impression when I first saw this debate was it actually wasn't a debate. There was very little disagreement. I mean, there were some people that inserted themselves here and there. We'll kind of talk about that. We'll highlight it. But it was so obvious from the outset that CNN wanted to unite the candidates against the idea of impeachment. They didn't want crossfire. They didn't want the candidates to find their differences or have any sort of discussion of where they might see differently on the issues. Instead, they wanted to say to the American people, the highest levels of viewership that CNN will ever have, they wanted to make impeachment the number one issue in America and the number one takeaway issue from people that were watching. And so they go down to each candidate and basically they say, what do you think about how horrible of a president that Donald Trump is? So let's play tape of the Democrats calling for impeachment and basically agreeing with each other and not disagreeing on anything at all.
Since the last debate, House Democrats have officially launched an impeachment inquiry against President Trump, which all the candidates on this stage support.
When I made the decision to run for president, I certainly didn't think it was going to be about impeachment. But when the Mueller report came out, I read it, all 442 pages. And when I got to the end, I realized that Mueller had shown too fare thee well, that this president had obstructed justice and done it repeatedly. And so at that moment, I called for opening an impeachment inquiry.
In my judgment, Trump is the most corrupt president in the history of this country. It's not just that he obstructed justice with the Mueller report. I think that the House will find him guilty of, worthy of impeachment, because of the Emoluments Clause. This is a president who is enriching himself while using the Oval Office to do that, and that is outrageous.
I said from the beginning that if, in fact, Trump continued to stonewall what the Congress is entitled to know about his background, what he did, all the accusations in the Mueller report, if they did that, they would have no choice but to begin an impeachment proceeding, which gives them more power to seek more information.
He has committed crimes in plain sight. I mean, it's shocking, but the reality of it is that I don't really think this impeachment process is going to take very long, because as a former prosecutor, I know a confession when I see it. And he did it in plain sight. He has given us the evidence, and he tried to cover it up, putting it in that special server. And there's been a clear consciousness of guilt. This will not take very long. Donald Trump needs to be held accountable. He is indeed the most corrupt and unpatriotic president we have ever had.
And so for the first time, we've actually had Democrats bring up the Mueller report. In previous episodes of the Charlie Kirk Show, we've talked about how candidates, they've not talked about the Mueller report at all. And what I find most interesting about when they mention the Mueller report, they say, oh, he was obstructing justice. In order for you to obstruct justice, first of all, there had to have been a crime that you committed. And second of all, there had to have been a pursuit of justice coming after you for you to actually be potentially held accountable for what you did. Do you notice that they never actually mention any specifics of the U.S. criminal code of what was actually broken? They never mention any laws that were broken. They never mention anything whatsoever. Instead, they say, oh, it's so obvious that the president broke the law. But at the same time, They want to use the exonerating report to impeach him. So under these bizarre, backwards rules that have been written by the Democrats, we have this guilty until proven innocent paradigm that has been created. The Mueller report was, there is a baseless accusation because of a Democrat-funded dossier, which was true foreign collusion, and using the same tactics that they accused the president of. All of a sudden, we have to go through a taxpayer-funded hit job to go to find out if this accusation is actually true. Totally backwards. And now that Bob Mueller's testimony in front of Congress was so flawed and so horrible, we now have to talk about the Ukrainian corruption example. And a lot of these presidential candidates were bringing this up, and they have no idea what actually was involved in the phone call. So I actually want to play tape of my interview that I had on Steve Hilton's show, where Steve Hilton actually told me privately it was one of the best takedowns that he heard around the lies and the misinformation of this Ukrainian phone call. So let's play tape of that.
There's nothing wrong with the phone call. The succession of the phone call goes as this. Starts as congratulations. Then the Ukrainian president responds and compliments President Trump for rooting out corruption in D.C., saying they did that in Ukraine. The whole idea of Rudy Giuliani, the first mention of Rudy Giuliani was said President Zelensky. The first mention of it whatsoever. And the whole theme was about corruption. Then they critiqued Macron and Merkel together about how they're not giving any sort of assistance. He said, hey, can you give us some javelin missiles? And then the president said, I need a favor. The favor was not about Biden.
No,
the favor was
right.
About CrowdStrike.
Exactly.
And I have not seen one honest minute of reporting on television. They all say he wants a favor to investigate a political opponent. He never said that.
Exactly.
He said, I need a favor to look into CrowdStrike. What was CrowdStrike? Foreign interference in our elections. So hold on a second. We have a president who's asking for a favor. Please stop interfering. The very same thing that we just had a three-year taxpayer-funded hit job that really divided our country.
Yeah.
The misrepresentation about the phone call are abundant. It is repeated and it is intentional. Because the truth and the veracity of this phone call, to use their own words against them, would actually liberate and exonerate the president.
Well, and so you can kind of hear there my how intense I got towards the end of that clip, because the woman's voice there was former Governor Susana Martinez, who was excellent, by the way, of my appearance on Steve Hilton's show on Fox News. We love Steve. Thank you for the opportunity of doing that. And so then what also took me, I kind of made this joke when we were prepping for this show. This didn't feel like a debate. This felt like a Marxist Democrat science fair. So what I meant like that, it was almost like a bunch of parents that were going and looking at everyone's weird science projects and like, oh, which one do I like better? And every science project that they were looking at was, well, no, I have the better plan to fundamentally deconstruct America and take us in a radically different direction. And so it actually wasn't any sort of disagreement. Now, there was some here and there, but I was always thinking back to the fireworks of Republicans running for president in 2015 and 2016. I mean, from the minute that Donald Trump ran for the presidency, he was going after low energy Jeb, and he was going after do nothing Kasich, and he was going after Rubio and Cruz. I mean, there were real fireworks. This just seems as if these Democrats are truly collectivists. I mean, they are truly the opposite of what an individual running for the presidency actually is. And what I also found to be really interesting, so on a day where the Dow gained 237 points, on a day where the stock market is a three-week high and is showing to be very durable, the Democrats don't talk about any current economic anxiety. They don't talk about the job numbers, where we have the lowest ever black unemployment rate, lowest ever Latino unemployment rate, lowest female unemployment rate in 60 years, the lowest ever black poverty rate, basically the best economy in American history, the highest ever median income, the record wage growth. They only talk about fear-mongering about the alleged future economic conditions. In fact, these were all the questions asked by CNN. I call it fear-mongering, draconian, and Luddite. Essentially, I'll get into what Luddite actually is, but draconian is this idea that it's just going backwards in history, that somehow the future of economic progress and innovation is something that must be totally stopped, thwarted, or we must go towards redistributive collectivist economics because of what actually might be happening in the future. But if the economy was so bad, we would be hearing about it. Instead, CNN and the entire conversation for about 30 minutes of the debate was about what was going to happen when these jobs would inevitably be lost, not what's actually going on today. That goes to show how good the economy actually is. That goes to show that they can't appeal to people's current anxieties, only their future anxieties. This is fear-mongering 101. This goes to actually how to pander to an audience that actually might be doing quite well right now, where Ohio, they took a gamble and they put a bet on Donald Trump in 2016, a state where Donald Trump won by 8 points, and they re-rewarded a Republican to become governor in 2018, Governor DeWine, based on the same sort of promises made, promises kept agenda of a pro-growth Republican conservative administration. So a Luddite, these are a group of people back in, I think, the 1910s or 1920s that actually went and smashed machines because of the economic progress that was being made so quickly. They were afraid that machines were going to take over the world. And so what I also found, and this is one of my biggest critiques and one of my biggest kind of pet peeves, if you will, of what I see in these Democrat conversations. And I find that we as conservative libertarians, conservatarians, or free enterprise believers, we always find ourselves getting trapped into this argument. All right, everybody, this is a great product. You guys got to check it out. Vincero Watches. They create exceptionally crafted watches and sell them at a fair price. While each watch is painstakingly handcrafted for absolute quality, they come at a fraction of the price of other luxury watches of this same look and feel. Vincero claims to be the best in their industry. And guess what? I totally agree with them. There is a reason Vincero has over 18,000 five-star reviews, because their modern timepieces masterfully blend fashion and function into one affordable timepiece. So look, every guy needs a watch. Every person who knows a guy needs a watch. Therefore, every person needs a watch, because every person knows a guy. And guess what? There's only one watch that we endorse here, and that is Vincero on The Charlie Kirk Show. An exclusive deal for us. As partners in Vincero, they are offering 15% off your entire order with the code Kirk. K-I-R-K. Just head to VinceroWatches.com and use the code Kirk, K-I-R-K, for 15% off. For daily wear, special occasions, or around the office, a classic wristwatch is something every man needs, because they establish the person who's wearing them. That's you, as the most ambitious and interesting person in the room. When you've got on a nice watch, it changes the way you carry yourself, the way you feel, and therefore the way people look at you. Vincero's timepieces are bold, uncompromising showstoppers that match any outfit. While styles range from classic chronos to rugged sports watches, Vincero has a watch for every style, occasion, and price point. Plus, all straps are interchangeable, giving you more versatility. This makes it so easy to change up your watch when you change up your style. There is no excuse for you not to look great, no matter what the occasion. Don't forget, Vincero has free worldwide shipping. Whether you are a watch connoisseur looking for your first timepiece, a Vincero watch is going to exceed your expectations and make you feel more confident. So remember, my listeners get an extra 15% off. This is so important. Literally 15% off a watch, and every person needs a watch. Just use the code Kirk, K-I-R-K, when you check out. So go to VinceroWatches.com. That's V-I-N-C-E-R-O, watches.com, and use that code Kirk for 15% off your entire order. They've had style sell out before that I have announced. Guess what? They sell it so fast, you do not want to be disappointed. Don't forget that code Kirk, K-I-R-K, for 15% off. Go right now to VinceroWatches.com, V-I-N-C-E-R-O, watches.com. Use the code Kirk for 15% off your order. You need a watch, and so does everyone in your life. So just a quick point of correction. Luddites were in the 1810s, 1820s. I said the wrong century. I meant to say 1810s, but it came out as 19. So anyway, that's apologize for that. So here's one of my biggest pet peeves, one of my biggest irritants, is that we as conservatives, and the media falls into it, we have a conversation about how much things cost. So Joe Biden said this, and he was talking about how much Medicare for All was going to cost. Play tape of Joe Biden talking about this.
The plan is going to cost at least $30 trillion over 10 years. That is more on a yearly basis than the entire federal budget. And we talk about how we're going to pay for it. The study recently came out showing that, in fact, it will reduce cost. But for people making between $50,000 and $75,000 a year, their taxes are going to go up about $5,000. Because the fact is, they'll pay more in new taxes, 7.4%. Plus or 5% plus a 4% income tax. If you're making, if a fireman and a school teacher are making $100,000 a year, their taxes are going to go up about 10 grand. That is more than they will possibly save on this health care plan. We have a plan put forward that will work.
And I find this to happen all the time on a lot of the cable news shows that I participate on. The conversation goes into, well, how are you going to pay for it? If you know anything about the Marxists, if you know anything about the collectivists, and if you have learned from the statists and the Rousseauians, which of course was Rousseau, was the French philosopher that laid the foundation for Karl Marx, They will always find a way to pay for their socialist ideas. They will print the money, they will borrow the money, or they will take the money. If we're having a conversation about how to pay for something, we are losing. Instead, we should be having a conversation of whether this is a good idea. You always have to assume the left will find a way to pay for their schemes. Now, whether they will borrow that money or not is irrelevant. Instead of saying that, oh, we can't afford Medicare for All, or we can't afford the Green New Deal, we should say the Green New Deal is a bad idea. It's a bad idea to expand government that will erode individual liberty to that extent. It's a bad idea to disallow fossil fuel extraction and fossil fuel exploration. It's a bad idea to nationalize our healthcare industry. It's a bad idea to have an incompetent and corrupt and inefficient bureaucracy to run 1/6 of the American economy. And it's important to remember, Democrats don't actually want to improve America. They want to transition America into the Soviet Union. Now, that's a pretty bold statement to say, but I heard throughout this entire debate, well, Donald Trump has made Russia great again. It kind of struck me. I think it was Senator Klobuchar that said it, where I said, no, what's really happening is you guys want to make us Soviet Russia. You guys want to have the government run our healthcare. You want to have nothing but government-run schools. And I want to go back a little bit because we didn't talk about this enough. Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic Irishman who's overly entitled and privileged, who has faked his name to be Beto, he's not even as much Hispanic as Elizabeth Warren is Native American, and that's quite a statement. Back in the previous CNN town hall, it was the LGBT town hall, is that right? It was the LGBT town hall. He went out of his way to say that any church that does not support same-sex marriage, let alone officiate same-sex marriages, should lose their tax-exempt status.
This is from your LGBTQ plan, and here's what you write. This is a quote. Freedom of religion is a fundamental right, but it should not be used to discriminate. Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority, and we are going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans.
Now, mind you, this is such a devolution of the American leftist movement, because those of us that were a little skeptical about the rise of government fully endorsing same-sex marriage. I've always taken the libertarian position on this, allow people to live the life as they see fit, you know, live free, I'm not going to get into your bedroom, I'm not going to get into your wallet, you know, the government should stop at the outskirts of your wallet and definitely at the outskirts of your bedroom. Now that promise, that false promise that was always given to us by the American left has been broken. The people that advocated for same-sex marriage, again, I was not a major opponent to this. It was in my early stages of political activism. I was always very laissez-faire about it. It's something that I think a lot of young conservatarians tend to be much more just kind of, hey, live free and don't tell me how to live my life and definitely don't take my stuff. But now that is broken. Now those of us that go to churches that believe in biblical marriage, they are not going to be satisfied till they break the windows of the church, they take the pulpit, and they say exactly what should happen within the confines of your church. It is incrementalism. It is one of the greatest weapons of the American left. You give the American left an inch, they will go a mile. And I understand, those of you that are really into debate, this is a slippery slope. But I no longer think that slippery slope is a slippery slope fallacy. I no longer think it's a logical fallacy. I think it's a incontrovertible, proven fact of the American left, that the left will continue their steady march of progress over a cliff into total and complete cultural chaos. Put simply, the Democrats want our culture to be in a state of confusion so that they can make themselves more powerful and they can make themselves in a position of command over the American economy. So back to what I was saying, that, you know, the Democrats want to make America Soviet Russia. In some ways, that's very true. Now, I'm not saying every Democrat does, but those Democrats on the stage, let's just say that the old bureaucrats and the old people that used to be in the Soviet Union, they are giving standing applauses when they hear about the church being infiltrated, when they hear about the idea of an individual liberty, of Green New Deal. This is the centralized planning command economy that what we've already experimented with over 100 times over the last 100 years. So if there's only one takeaway that you take away here at the Charlie Kirk Show, it is that don't fall into the false choice. Don't fall into this false debate of, oh, how much does it cost? The left will always find a way to pay for it. They will print it. They will borrow it. And they will take it. These are the Rousseauian and the Marxists, and the new left will always find it. Every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. So pick up your phone right now and text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when Trump merchandise is available, and even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. That's 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. Again, be sure to text Charlie to 88022 today. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Okay, so this is kind of one of the first disagreements that began to happen in the debate, where Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg, which, if you are a daily listener of the Charlie Kirk Show, thank you very much, and give us a subscribe. Please leave us a review and give us a 5-star rating. You know that I made the bold prediction that Pete Buttigieg is going to catch fire. He's going to catch fire in Iowa. He might end up being the vice presidential nominee with Elizabeth Warren. I do think Warren is the likely nominee, but I think Pete Buttigieg is going to finish top three in Iowa. I think Bernie Sanders' best days are behind him. We wish him well here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I mean, no sort of insinuation towards his health whatsoever. Let's play the clip of Warren and Pete Buttigieg going back and forth.
...into law that does not lower costs for middle-class families.
Mayor Buttigieg, you say Senator Warren has been, quote, evasive about how she's going to pay for Medicare for All. What's your response?
Well, we heard it tonight, a yes or no question that didn't get a yes or no answer. Look, this is why people here in the Midwest are so frustrated with Washington in general and Capitol Hill in particular. Your signature, Senator, is to have a plan for everything except this. No plan has been laid out to explain how a multi-trillion dollar hole in this Medicare for All plan that Senator Warren is putting forward is supposed to get filled in.
And so you can kind of see here that Mayor Pete is trying to propose a more moderate healthcare solution. What's the big difference here? Mayor Pete is just as radical as Senator Elizabeth Warren. Mayor Pete is just as much of a leftist as Senator Elizabeth Warren. Mayor Pete is just as much of a Marxist. But Mayor Pete is much better. He's a much better Alinskyite. So in the book Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky talked about that a true radical is someone who slicks back their hair, puts on a three-piece suit, and pretends to be someone who they are not. Mayor Pete comes from the industrial Midwest of where I come from. Mayor Pete was mayor just 90 miles down the highway from where I grew up. I understand the kind of community he comes from, and he knows that these big government promises and an erosion of Midwest values are not going to sell in the states that you need to win to become president of the United States. And he also knows that in order for him to win Iowa, that Elizabeth Warren continually catering to the crew, the coffee club at Harvard University, and the wine sipping tour in Malibu, and the whiskey club in Washington, D.C., kind of the elite circles. No, we're talking about the deep fryer in Des Moines that you're going to have to talk to. Pete Buttigieg knows that talking about a massive takeover of the American healthcare system is not something that's going to resonate. And so, look, they're both aspiring Alinskyites, but Mayor Pete is just much more disciplined in his approach. And I'm actually much more much more of an admirer just in political practice of how Pete Buttigieg is so effective in infiltrating the conservative Christian movement. And my team right here on the Charlie Kirk Show said, hey, Charlie, you predicted his rise. Well, one of the reasons I've predicted the rise of Pete Buttigieg and one of the reasons we predicted the rise of Elizabeth Warren is that myself and the work we do at Turning Point USA, TPUSA.com, despite us being a nonprofit, we listen and we learn. We educate ourselves because we're talking to real human beings. We travel the country. We go to the very states that are in play. Unlike the people that are just looking at polls and data all day long, we're actually going to where things matter the most. And that's why our predictions tend up being more correct and more predictive than almost anything else. One of the things I noticed throughout the debate was that in the beginning parts of the debate, when impeachment was discussed, there was no applause from the audience. There was dead silence. I don't believe the polls. Even Ohio Democrats seem to not be totally on the same page of impeachment and removal from office. However, the crowd was alive, and the crowd was not just full of Republicans or full of independent voters, because the only thing that I heard overwhelming applause for was Senator Kamala Harris's abortion argument when she said that half of the women, essentially half of the people in the country are women. And by the way, just so you go look at it statistically and you look at the math of it, you understand that half of the abortions statistically were women. So there have been over 60 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. So just by a basic statistical analysis, half of those were girls and the other half were boys. So if you're pro-women, there would be twice as many women, not twice as many, but there would be 30 million more women in America. 30 million more women, Senator Harris, if the abortion debate did not go the way that Roe versus Wade wished. Let's play the clip of Senator Kamala Harris, who is just a fledgling candidate. If you want to just kind of dive deep on Senator Harris and how she attacked me and she attacked Turning Point USA, by the way, support Turning Point USA at TPUSA.com. If you want to learn more about it, go to our prior episode, press download and listen to it. But let's play the clip of Senator Kamala Harris.
This is the sixth debate we have had in this presidential cycle, and not nearly one word with all of these discussions about health care on women's access to reproductive health care, which is under full-on attack in America today. And it's outrageous. There are states that have passed laws that will virtually prevent women from having access to reproductive health care. And it is not an exaggeration to say women will die. Poor women, women of color will die because these Republican legislatures in these various states who are out of touch with America are telling women what to do with our bodies. Women are the majority of the population in this country. People need to keep their hands off of women's bodies and let women make the decisions about their own lives.
Thank you, Senator.
And so she's trying to pander to the female vote, but of course, the base of the Democrat Party that is funding, guess who? The front runner, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Well, Senator Elizabeth Warren is being attacked like the front runner she's become, another Charlie Kirk Show prediction that we have had for months. It should terrify everyone in the country that, quote, no one on stage wants to protect billionaires, end quote, is a mainstream idea on the debate stage. I found the cowardice of CNN to be striking. I just want to go after CNN in two ways right here. Number one, they go after Senator Bernie Sanders about his stance on billionaires. And Senator Sanders is quaking in his boots, kind of meandering around billionaires. He was definitively less authoritarian towards his stance on billionaires. Why? Well, because one of his sugar daddies is right on stage with him. Sugar Daddy Steyer. Sugar Daddy Steyer is just a couple places away. The guy who funds the coffers of the entire Democrat apparatus, the guy that donates to all the correct nonprofits, the guy that funds the impeach Donald Trump campaign, the guy that is a contributor to all the major campaigns, Senator Bernie Sanders, did not point like the courageous Rousseauian French Revolution Robespierre guy that he pretends to be to his base. If he really was the Marxist that he pretends to be, if he was really the champion of redistribution that he wants to be, here's what he should have done. He should have pointed at Tom Steyer and said, I'm going to take your money away. And he didn't do that. And CNN just so sheepishly said, oh, well, Tom Steyer, you're a billionaire. What do you think? And he makes this weird answer about how our government is bought and paid for. I have so many thoughts on this. Number one, Tom Steyer, you are so disingenuous. If you really believed in the garbage of bigger government doing good, write a bigger check to the IRS. Go write a bigger check. Do you know that you can pay more in taxes as a gift to the federal government and they will never return it if you wish it to be a gift? So Tom Steyer, if you really believed that the government did good in the world, why don't you voluntarily give your $1.6 billion to the Internal Revenue Service? If you thought government was the best vehicle for change in society, you should go write a $1.6 billion check to the Internal Revenue Service. The Treasury Department would gladly accept your entire net worth. The other part that just super frustrated me about it is that none of the other Democrats that attack billionaires all the time. In fact, I got a fundraising email from Bernie Sanders during this debate, and I scrolled down. It says, this email was paid for by Bernie Sanders for America. And in quotations, not the billionaires. Bernie Sanders could have had a heroic moment for his base. Boy, if I was unhappy and I lived in my parents' basement and I did nothing all day long and I hated wealth and I hated America, I would have loved to have seen Bernie Sanders crusade against an actual billionaire on the stage. You don't even attack the guy that you say you hate. Why? Because that billionaire is a protected billionaire. He sends his money and he writes his checks to go defeat Donald Trump and to go fight climate change. So he's a protected billion class billionaire. You don't hate billionaires, Bernie Sanders. You just hate the billionaires that decide to spend their money to make sure America is still free. If you actually hated billionaires, you would have turned to Tom Steyer and said, you are the problem. Instead, he's an okay billionaire because he spends his money to make America less free and to make America more like France, Portugal, Spain, Greece, Cuba, Venezuela, and the former Soviet Union. You disingenuous hack, I do wish you well in your health, however, and I don't say that with any sort of sarcasm and irony. I'll never wish any sort of ill will on my political opponents, unlike the Young Turks who laughed at me when I went to the hospital because I might have had a blood clot. And so here's the thing. I want to dive into this a little bit more, and then I'm going to have kind of a subset of this, and then I want to go back to the CNN bias. So first of all, do you ever notice that the left and the Democrats running for the presidency never talk about creating wealth, only confiscating wealth? They never talk about entrepreneurship, people creating new ideas, people taking risks. In the same way, they don't ever talk about cutting taxes for everyone to make sure they're all fair. It's always about raising more tax, about taking more wealth away. So now, look, I would be remiss if I did not mention this about CNN's bias. This drove me nuts. So you know that uncle? Do you know that person in your family, when they watch your favorite sports team, they're screaming and they are yelling and they get so upset? That's me when I watch the Democrat debate, okay? Thank goodness I have a Twitter feed. Please all follow me on Twitter at CharlieKirk11. I know many of you do. And please give us 5 stars out of our podcast. And go to your podcast subscriber right now and leave a review. When I watch the Democrat debate, and my team's laughing right now because I go, are you kidding me? It's kind of like, you know, when you act if the referee can hear you. Throw the flag! Throw the flag! And so anyway, I was listening to Anderson Cooper, who, can I just say something? Anderson Cooper used to be a respectable journalist. Anderson Cooper is a hack. He is a hack. Anderson Cooper is a disingenuous leftist propagandist. So Anderson Cooper, we have to play the clip, okay? I know I'm getting quite heated here. Don't always get that way, but it's warranted. I want to play this clip of Anderson Cooper saying to Joe Biden, well, you have been falsely accused. So, mind you, whenever Brett Kavanaugh was accused of anything, they acted like it was a fact. Do you know what they said when Brett Kavanaugh was accused? Credibly accused. That's what they said. You've been credibly accused. So they say to Joe Biden, you've been falsely accused. Play tape.
Thank you, Congressman. The impeachment inquiry is centered on President Trump's attempts to get political dirt from Ukraine on Vice President Biden and his son Hunter. Mr. Vice President, President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
Now, I do actually have to correct myself. I have to correct myself because I actually think that Joe Biden's communication strategy to have his son go on Good Morning America was actually brilliant. I thought it was foolish on the prior episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. My advice to everyone listening to The Charlie Kirk Show, always admit when you're wrong. I was wrong about this, and I think Mr. Producer would agree. It was brilliant because it was going to get buried in the inevitable news cycle of this debate. No one talked about it. No one thought it to be an issue. No one went after him about it. If the Democrats were actually fair about this, but Mr. Producer was right that he was going to get misty and that he was going to cry, and I was correct that Hunter Biden wasn't going to talk about it. Let's play a clip of Hunter Biden admitting he only got anywhere because of his last name.
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the Vice President of the United States.
So there was Hunter Biden admitting on Good Morning America. By the way, this was the most softball interview. And can I just say, Hunter Biden looks so disoriented. But I have to say, President Trump's superpower is extracting the left to play on his terms. He's so good at this. I wish more Republicans did this. If I was Hunter Biden, I would have granted no press avail, whatever. I would have just held the line because the press will continually protect you. This shows that President Trump and his following and the crowd that he is actually gathering does threaten the base of the Democrat Party. This shows the power of President Trump. If they really believed he was unpopular, if they really believed he wasn't going to win, Hunter Biden would never have come out of hiding and giving this pathetic interview to Good Morning America. It was a pathetic piece of television where he was like, well, I really regret going on the board. So I have a question for Hunter Biden. Are you going to return the money? Are you going to return the money that you earned or that you received from Burisma? You said it was a mistake. You said that you shouldn't have done it. You said you only got it because of your father's name. Why don't you donate that money to, I don't know, the legal fund of the people suing your father for groping them? How about that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you go donate the money to the legal fund of the people that say your father groped them? By the way, where did that story go in the news cycle? That story just was dead on arrival. The media no longer talks about that at all. And by the way, we just got a breaking news alert. Booker just admitted to being a vegan. I don't know if that was a breaking news alert or not, but I think we all knew that Booker was a vegan. I don't think that was something where people said, wow, I didn't see that one coming. I think everyone thought that was pretty much just the, yeah, that fits. That goes in the that fits category. So the Biden family has become one of the most corrupt families in modern American politics. Anyone that is objective looking at facts know that. And all that Anderson Cooper had to say was, hey, you've been accused. He didn't have to say credibly accused. He didn't have to say falsely accused, but he said falsely accused. That just goes to show how dishonest the media has become in their covering and their pathological propaganda campaign to destroy President Trump. For those of you that watched the debate, there is an ad that was shown, a very important ad that goes to show where the Democrat base is going and the troubling direction and trajectory they are headed. All right. As you all know, every week we pick winners because we are part of this contest, hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. And guess what? We won. The Charlie Kirk Show won. It was so funny. I was watching the NFL and I texted our team. I said, I got all these games right. I said the 49ers were going to beat the Rams. I said the Vikings were going to beat the Eagles. They beat the Eagles, right? I think the Vikings beat the Eagles, Kirk Cousins. So we won. So we have money to give away, evidently, $100 through betonline.ag, our great partners at betonline.ag. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast1. So I think we get $100 to give away. And I think you do that by going to podcast1sportsnet.com or you go to betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1. Because we won, we're able to get, oh yeah, we get $500 reward each week to give out to the winning show. That's us. So to my listeners, if you use the Charlie Kirk Show, when you go to podcast1sportsnet.com, you get free money to go bet and gamble. How cool is that? So, anyway, here's some of the matchups. We got Oakland at Green Bay. I like Green Bay. We got Minnesota at Detroit. I like Minnesota. New Orleans at Chicago. Trubisky and Breeze are both out. I still like Chicago. Baltimore at Seattle. I like Seattle. And Philly at Dallas. I like Dallas to finally wake up. They are absolutely horrible right now. Michigan at Penn State. I like Penn State. Arizona State at Utah. I like Utah. The big game of the week. Ducks. We're a Go Ducks program here. They won 45-3 Friday night against University of Colorado Boulder. We got a couple people at Turning Point USA that are Boulder people, and they're not very happy. Oregon won, and Oregon's going to beat Washington at Washington, LSU at Mississippi State. And right now, one of our team members is looking eagerly to see what I'm going to pick because she goes to Texas A&M. Mr. Producer miserably screwed this up. He said, like, hook 'em Aggies. That's sin. You can't say that. That is blasphemy, I should say. I said gig 'em. I said howdy. I said the right things. Hottie Toddy versus A&M. I think I've already done these, can't contradict my prior prediction. So I'm not going to make a prediction or else it invalidates this because I don't want to go to the back one. Anyway, we have the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Nationals look really good. The Nationals look like they're doing quite well. Anyway, go visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Go Ducks, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And the Charlie Kirk Show will be again the winner next week. If you don't believe me, tune in. Betonline.ag, promo code podcast1. So an advertisement that was played after the first break of the Marxist circus called the Democrat debate, and my team actually ran and got me. I was actually doing another kind of a quick Turning Point USA download on our upcoming event, actually, our Student Action Summit. So all of you listening to this should apply to our Student Action Summit. And any adults, you can buy adult tickets. It's tpusa.com/SAS. I was going over a couple things about that. And one of our team members at the Charlie Kirk Show comes running in and is like, you do not believe the ad that was just shown. So it's from this thing called the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is run by very unhappy people. I have not actually met a lot of these people, but they don't strike me as if they have the spirit of the Lord with them. No pun intended, because they're literally trying to remove the spirit of the Lord from the public space. And so, look, this fits perfectly, because the Democrat Party is quickly becoming a godless party. This is why, from a political strategy standpoint, I have so much respect is the wrong word, but I have, I understand what Pete Buttigieg is doing. This is why Pete Buttigieg uses scripture incorrectly. He falsely cites the gospel to try to justify his social justice, big government aims, because he knows that the Democrat Party will become an irrelevant minority party if they get so radicalized and they become an atheist party. But remember, this is a godless party that booed God at their convention. They want to defund churches by revoking their tax-exempt status that Robert Francis O'Rourke advocated for, the fake Hispanic Irishman entitled Brat from El Paso. We've talked about that. And basically anyone who disagrees with their political beliefs. And this is really important, because as government gets more powerful, as government gets bigger, in order for them to get it to the socialist objectives that they want, they have to make sure that church membership declines. The church and the local community and synagogues and mosques still are the most durable and effective social fabric that exists in Western civilization. It's the best way to help the least of these, the best way to lift people out of poverty, the best way to clothe the homeless, and to feed the hungry, and to help people that need a hand up, is when a faith-based institution, primarily the major monotheistic traditions in America, the predominant, of course, are Judaism and Christianity, but of course Islam as well. Those main monotheistic traditions are the most effective ways to make sure that we don't have to have ridiculously intrusive and massive welfare programs. I say this quite often, and I receive flack for saying this. If we got rid of every single government, taxpayer-funded social welfare program, the church would step up the next day to make sure that every poor person is taken care of and every person in need was looked after. Never underestimate the benevolency or the generosity of Americans. We will always step up to help those in need when they most need it. And so with that being said, they know that the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. That if they make government big enough, government will become people's God. But first they have to remove God altogether. They have removed prayer in our schools. They've removed the most miraculous and spectacular book ever to exist in the history of the world, the Bible, from being taught even as a secular document in our schools, despite its improbability of existence, its authenticity, and it includes the most important person ever to walk the face of the earth. But the left, we talk about incrementalism, which is such a great point made by one of the team members here at the Charlie Kirk Show quite often, which is the left exists in incrementalism. They know that they cannot accomplish their Marxist, Rousseauian objectives and dreams if they don't first make America secular atheist. The more atheists they can make America, the more that they can make America skeptical towards God, the quicker they can get us to embrace socialism. So let's play this ad. And if this ad at the end does not send chills up your spine, then I'm not sure what will. Play ad.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
So there you heard. Guess who was doing that ad? The son of Ronald Reagan. The son of our great president, Ronald Reagan, was the spokesperson in the Freedom From Religion ad. I think we should do an entire podcast on the Judeo-Christian roots of America, about how the founding fathers were inspired by the Bible, inspired by the Scottish Enlightenment, that on our currency it says, "In God we trust." On the back of the United States Congress is the face of Moses, reminding us that that was the first time we got laws given from God straight to the people. You look at the Articles of the Constitution and the Amendments of the Constitution, many of which are inspired by natural law, and believing that we're just nothing more than a clump of cells is one of the most troubling, cultural devolutions that is currently happening in our culture today. This is the reason why they think it's okay for children of 3 years old to be a gender that they are not. This is okay that they're perfectly, that it's fine to have taxpayer-funded post-birth, partial birth abortions, where Governor Ralph Northam advocates for children to be totally born, relaxed, and killed. Do you know what Governor Ralph Northam's approval rating is right now? 51%. Governor Ralph Northam has a 51% approval rating. At times, I'm not sure what culture that we're currently living in. I'm an optimist, but when a governor of a state can hold such a radical abortion position and still have a 51% approval rating, it makes sense, though, when the Freedom From Religion Foundation is having an increase in membership. With that, there's an increase in membership in the Democrat Party. As more people leave the church, more people embrace socialism. Right now, if you are a committed Christian and you're a conservative or libertarian and you love liberty, you have to understand there is a two-pronged, full-frontal assault happening right now in our country and in our culture. One through the church and one trying to get people to leave the church. Pete Buttigieg is trying to convince people within the church and the parishioners and the clergy that they should be Marxist social justice warriors by falsely quoting scripture. And people like President Reagan's son from the Freedom From Religion Foundation and Bernie Sanders, who is he's Jewish, but he's a self-described agnostic at times. Bernie Sanders, who has had positive things to say about secularism, is trying to get people to walk away from the church. Robert Francis O'Rourke, who says that any church that does not perform same-sex marriages, despite it being against the religious doctrine and text and deeply held beliefs of that religious institution, should lose its tax-exempt status, which would basically defund the church. The left destroys everything it touches, and the left never stops. Like a virus that seeks a healthy host, they're trying everything they can to get into one of the most important cultural institutions in our country, which is the American church. I was so blown away by this ad. I was so troubled by this ad because guess what? Right now, thousands and tens of thousands of people saw that ad, and they right now are going to the Freedom From Religion Foundation and are signing up. Why are they signing up? Because that's their church. That's their membership. If you remove people's meaning to a higher power, they have to find meaning somewhere else. And guess where they find that meaning? To make sure that other people aren't happy, to make sure that other people aren't grateful, to make sure that other people aren't finding a belief in an afterlife. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, the only reason they need to keep raising money and keep trying to find out that people don't actually talk about religion is because they themselves are unsettled and unhappy when we as a country actually understand our Judeo-Christian roots. When President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, goes on TV and says, well, this is what the founding fathers actually wanted. They wanted freedom from religion. Guess what? When you advocate for atheism, you're advocating for atheism as the state-run religion. Atheism is a religion. The founding fathers never argued for a separation from religion. They did argue of separation of church and state, but it said it was inarguable that the roots of our country and the roots of the system of government that they were designing was inspired by natural rights and natural law, and our rights came from God, not from government. That is an important distinction, and it is an irrefutable distinction if you understood who inspired the founding fathers, the writings of John Locke, the Scottish Enlightenment, and before that, the Enlightenment in Europe. And understanding that these ideas were originally derived from the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world, the Holy Bible. As government gets bigger, citizens get smaller. As the church declines in membership, just look at Europe. All of a sudden, government will explode in their influence. They'll take more money from people. They'll have more influence over your lives, and your liberties and your freedoms will continually become diminished. So this was a Marxist circus. It is very obvious that Senator Elizabeth Warren has become the front runner. I don't know any Democrat that is excited to go for Joe Biden. In primaries, never forget, excitement matters, energy matters. She has excitement. Buttigieg will get some excitement. Joe Biden has to be able to draw crowds. He has to get people to show up to want to vote for him. I think the passive voters, the people that are just automatic Democrats that have been voting Democrat for 3 decades, are going to vote for Joe Biden. I don't think that new Democrats, people that have become Democrat or far left wingers in the last 10 to 15 years, are going to enthusiastically go vote for Joe Biden. Elizabeth Warren is now the clear front runner. She's raising a bunch of money. She is the one that is going to be the one I think we're going to have to go up against. And Pete Buttigieg is going to get hot. And make no mistake, Every single one of those candidates, except maybe Andrew Yang, who's basically a libertarian, but every single one of those candidates on stage, they are part of a sophisticated and multidimensional effort to deconstruct the greatest experiment in the history of the world. And here on the Charlie Kirk Show and at Turning Point USA, teepusa.com, we are on the front lines of the American culture war to make sure that we can continually defend freedom and liberty at every turn, to make sure that this experiment and this blessing is there for future generations. Please support our show by helping out our sponsors. Join Turning Point USA by going to teepusa.com, start a chapter, attend an event, or if you're an adult, please chip in some money. We have a matching grant right now, so if you donate to Turning Point USA, your donation gets doubled. That's teepusa.com/donate if you're in a position to do so, or join us in Palm Beach in Southern Florida. Of course, it's in Southern Florida, but join us in Palm Beach in December, December 18th through the 21st, teepusa.com/SAS. That's teepusa.com/SAS. And finally, please go to your podcast provider, probably Apple Podcasts or wherever it is. Type in The Charlie Kirk Show. If you haven't pressed subscribe, you got to do that. Go download all of our episodes and listen to them at your own leisure. And then go find a friend. Tell them to go give us 5 stars and leave us a review. We have another AMA coming up. And stay tuned. We have a really fun interview coming later this week. So you're going to want to be subscribed. It's a big deal. So please stay tuned for that. Thanks so much, everyone. With your help, we'll continue the fight to save the greatest country and the greatest civilization and the greatest culture ever to exist in the history of the world. This is Charlie Kirk signing off from The Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Till next time. Thanks.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest podcasts.